And welcome back to the social work bubble. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Laura, and I have my BSW and MSW and currently practice as a therapist in New York City in an outpatient mental health clinic. Before we get started, don't forget to like, comment, share, and follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening. Now let's dive in today. We are going to be talking all about my personal experience with burnout and my healing process through it. This is a recent journey for me. If you follow me on Instagram at socialworkbub, you will know that I've been incredibly inactive the last 2 weeks. I posted April 1st to announce, you know, this month was Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I just never posted again. I've posted here and there on my stories, but I'm nothing crazy. And it was because I have become burnt out. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what that meant for me, you know, what my experience was. And I'm going to go ahead and give a disclaimer that I usually give. I do live in New York City. So if it gets loud, or, you know, if I fidget to get a little bit more comfortable, you might hear some noises. I apologize. I don't really apologize because that's life. Well, anyways, we're gonna dive in. So I'll start with my recent experience with burnout and really what that looked like for me. So when I talk about burnout, I did do a podcast before about secondary trauma, burnout, compassion fatigue. So you can always reference that if you want. I can't remember what episode it is. Let's see. It looks like it is... Okay, well, I also talked about burnout in episode 17. And we talked about vicarious trauma in episode 4. But in terms of my experience, recently what had been happening was, you know, as I mentioned in my intro, I am a therapist at an outpatient clinic. It's a community-based clinic. We are funded through the Office of Mental Health. It's a nonprofit organization. With working at a community-based clinic, it comes with a hefty amount of paperwork. We're fee-for-service, which I think many therapists are, but again, at a community-based clinic, your rates are usually lower, so it can be more affordable services for clients. You know, for the populations that we support. Many people, from what I've seen, at least in my experience, they like to get some experience under their belt by working at a community-based clinic for even just a year, and then they leave the agency and go to a private practice to continue their therapy, which I understand. To me, I just have a hard time doing that because I know how many of my clients have been through like 10 million different therapists for those very reasons. But we'll get more into that later. So my current caseload at my work is 49 clients. So I have about 49 therapy sessions every week. My therapy sessions are about 45 minutes to an hour long, depending on the kind of session. Individual therapy sessions are like 45 minutes long. If I do a family therapy session, that's more towards an hour. So they're pretty lengthy. So I definitely spend at least 50 hours of my time working. I'm also a supervisor for some like clinical administrative work. So I just review treatment plans and documentation for some other agency clinicians. And I mean, my high caseload, and I'm very involved with my clients. I do a lot of case management work for them as their therapist and make a lot of referrals. I really try to give them and help them form a support network of their own, so I'm not the only person in their life. So I do have to do a lot of work. I help a lot of my clients with Social Security in terms of the mental health aspect and disability. And with that, Social Security appeals, and we do a lot of paperwork regarding that. So I would probably I don't know in terms of percentage, because obviously the majority is therapy sessions and doing therapy sessions, but a way bigger percentage than I thought initially does go to case management work. So there's certainly a lot on my plate. Outside of my normal, I don't even call it a 9-to-5 because it's not. Outside of my main job as a therapist, I have the Social Work Bubble, which is my personal brand. I have my Etsy shop where I sell mental health worksheets and products to and for social workers, therapists, and others in the mental health fields. I have my blog that's also a part of this bigger like Social Work Bubble brand. I have this podcast you're listening to. I have my YouTube channel, kind of branching out and planning for some other things as well, in an attempt to have some amount of financial security and stability. And so it's really tough. And then with that, in my personal life, things were a little hectic recently. I've been pretty open about my experience. I see my own therapist as well. And I've talked about that before, about what it's like to be a therapist with PTSD, treating people with PTSD. That is in a whole other podcast. I'm not sure which one. You'll have to search for that one. And so there was just a lot of things, a lot of balls in the air, shall we say, a lot of things to juggle. And I gotta say, I have always been the person that associated burnout with failure, that associated burnout with not loving social work, with not being passionate about social work anymore. And I remember being in college and thinking to myself, that's never going to happen to me because I can handle it. I'm never going to let it get that far because I can handle it. I don't care if it's a caseload of 100. No excuses. I can handle it. And, you know, that goes back to just some personal things that I deal with in terms of imposter syndrome and perfectionism and wanting to be the best and handle the most, even if it's completely unrealistic for any human being. And so those are some personal things I've been working on in terms of my journey and healing with burnout. But I was definitely a person that was just like, it's not going to be me. You know, I wouldn't let it get to that point. Well, look at me, not even a year out of grad school, and here I am. So what did I start to notice? A big thing I started to notice was my documentation, my paperwork, my progress notes, my treatment plans, consistently late all the time. And my work had like strict requirements for it. And I had been like called out by administration before, by the billing department. And they've emailed me, they CC'd my supervisor. They were just like, you really got to get on top of this. You got to get this done. And it was just a consistent problem. I was always being mentioned for having late paperwork. And I'm not going to lie, I think I'm a fantastic therapist. I think it's good that I know that. But for someone being myself, for me being so into needing validation from other people and wanting to impress people, I could not have cared less about my paperwork. Like, there was something within me, I just couldn't do it. I procrastinated. My time management sucked. I was seeing clients back to back. I didn't want to have my finances waver at all. So if a client missed a session, I would be scheduling them and that would get into my personal time. So usually what my weekly schedule looks like is Mondays I work 1-8, Tuesday and Wednesday I work 9-8, Thursday and Friday I work 12-8. And it was just insane. Like the hours, the morning time, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, I would have to reschedule clients for those slots. So what would have been my time off, time for myself, ended up being more work. And then my schedule was like working 11 hours every day, which was insane for me. Insane. And not including the paperwork, not including the case management stuff I have to do, not including the social work bubble stuff I do, not including anything in my personal life. like anything at all. And it got really, really tough. I started noticing in myself after I kind of sat down and really reflected on what was happening in my life. I was tired all the time. I was desperate for sleep. My weekends, I just crashed. I didn't do anything I enjoyed. I just stayed home in my little bubble and just like took naps and binged Netflix. And I did some cleaning, but like I just didn't do anything that I really loved. And I was constantly, I woke up late for work. I was sort of late to my first sessions of the day, which at 9 a.m. working until 8, I guess that's understandable, but it was really becoming a problem. And like I said, for someone who for such a long time has been very perfectionistic, for me to even consider being late or not at least 15 minutes early to something was crazy to me. For me to know that I didn't get my paperwork done that same day was crazy to me. And I had just let things pile up for weeks. And it was clearly out of hand, you know? And so it was very difficult for me to feel like I could even move forward at all. Because every time I tried to catch up, there was just more and more and more to do. And I always, like, I tried to catch up on the weekends, but on the weekends, it was just like I was turned off. I couldn't do it. Because I had set that time aside and I wasn't going to let my clients take that away from me either. But then when it got to the weekend, I didn't even do anything with that. So I really started to notice these things in my life. Another big part was that, you know, as a fee-for-service clinician, at least at this agency, you don't really get designated time off. You kind of create your own schedule. So if you want a couple of days off, you can just create what that looks like. I didn't know that. I hadn't taken any time off or any vacation since I had started after I graduated in May 2020. So I started working as a therapist in May 2020. And I just now, 2 weeks ago, took my first vacation on April 2nd, 2021. It's literally been almost 1 year. And with no breaks, working like this, I started noticing I didn't care about the things that I really enjoyed. I didn't take time for being outside, for enjoying nature, going for walks, getting fresh air, doing artsy things, reading, journaling, taking pride in my appearance, taking pride in what I looked like, what I was wearing, taking care of myself in those ways. All of those parts of myself were being neglected. So what happened? What happened? Well, basically, it all came to a head, is what happened. Weeks had been going on. I kept on getting in trouble for my late paperwork. Clients kept calling me in my free time. I started getting very frustrated with my clients, which I hate to be in that space. And I think it was really all of these things piled on top of each other until it was kind of the last straw. And for the first time ever, I admitted to my supervisor that I was overwhelmed. This is something I've dealt with for a long time, not just at this current agency, for much of my life, is that perfectionism, right? I felt like I couldn't be completely 100% transparent with my supervisor on how the workload was affecting me, on how the work was affecting me, how I was very, very quickly becoming overwhelmed and burnt out. Because I saw the signs, but I was in denial of what was happening. Because for the longest time, I said it wouldn't be me. And I had associated burnout with failure. And that if I had become burnt out, I was a bad social worker. And that is certainly not the case. Because I don't know anyone who's as passionate as me. I know that you're out there. But to me, it was just like, I know the difference now. You can be one of the best therapists, one of the best social workers, and that's not going to stop burnout from affecting you. It's not going to stop the work from affecting you. It's impossible. So how did I start healing? The first part of that healing was speaking honestly for the first time with my supervisor and letting her know that I was having a hard time. And let me tell you, it was incredibly difficult for me to be honest with her because she's someone I really look up to and I always want to be impressive to her. And her response was very supportive. And she said, of course you have to take time off. And I let her know and she was just like, is that all you want? You just want 2 days? And I'm just like, yeah, I'll start with that. So over Easter weekend, I took that Friday and Monday off. So I had a 4-day weekend. And I was able to see some family in my area for Easter. And that was very much necessary to go 4 days without work. I had shut off my work notifications. I shut off my email notifications. There was no person that was going to contact me. I let all of my clients know I am out of the office. I am not working. I will not respond to you, right? And for the most part, I think all of my clients were very respectful of that. When I turned my phone back on Tuesday, there wasn't really that many notifications. Some clients had texted me because I think they just forgot, which I don't expect them to keep track of my vacation days. But, you know, I didn't respond to them because my notifications were off. So say they got the message that the next time I'd be in the office, I would reach out to them. What else did this healing look like for me? I spent time with family. Part of that was going home to a place that really spoke to me. I've enjoyed living in New York City. I'm pretty new to city living still. I moved here for grad school. I stayed after graduation last year. And it's still been an adjustment for me. I grew up in an incredibly rural place. I didn't really have neighbors. All my neighbors were Amish. I could literally just like go for runs for miles and miles on just country roads. Moving to one of the biggest metropolitan areas was certainly an adjustment. And I'm also an introvert. And so I think a part of me really craved absolute quiet and peace that I felt like I couldn't fully achieve in the city. I think part of that also overwhelm, that feeling of overwhelm comes into play. Where I think if I had a handle on my workload or some other things in my life, like I could still find peace and quiet in different ways. But because so many things were so overwhelming, and on top of that, being an introvert in a loud city, it just really got to me. And so to be away for 4 days out in the country where I grew up, where I have a lot of memories, happy memories, nostalgic memories attached to be able to walk on those open country roads, to be able to run again and to feel that freedom and to breathe in the fresh air without a mask because we're in the middle of nowhere, it was spectacular. I went for a walk one evening and you just hear the crickets and you don't hear anything else. And it's truly just silence and trees and grass and fields and quiet for miles and miles. And it was spectacular. And I could feel in those moments that my soul was healing and that the parts of me that were cracked were being molded back together. And I say that to say everybody's different. Some people, right, you get used to loud noises and that's what makes you fall asleep at night. But it's really finding what speaks to you, finding an environment that really brings you peace and to put yourself there. Yes, we can bring pieces of that with us. And that's what I try to do now to prevent burnout in the future, is to actively make sure I'm spending more time in nature, to make sure I'm spending more time with like movement and activity in my life, to really be intentional with that, because I let those things slip away from me. I really hadn't gone outside. I hadn't gotten fresh air. I hadn't walked. I hadn't felt the grass or looked at trees or flowers. And it had been winter too. But I hadn't done it in such a long time, where that is very much a piece of me. I feel very connected to nature. And when I'm not there, I notice it. I notice when I'm not outside enough, and I start to get that itch for it. And that itch had not been scratched in quite some time. So take vacation, whatever that looks like for you. Of course, right now we have many restrictions on what that can look like, and that's okay. But what you need for yourself, whether it's the country, whether it's the beach, whether it is in this metro area, you do what you need to do in the environment that brings you that sense of peace and that sense of self and identity outside of social work. And that's another thing that we're going to talk about, is engaging in activities and hobbies that aren't related to social work, that aren't related to work, that aren't related to professionalism, that are completely outside of your social work therapist identity. This, again, for me, ties back into this idea that I really built up this idea in my head that if I enjoyed anything other than social work, it meant I wasn't passionate about social work anymore, because I had to be around it 24/7 to show that I loved it that much, to show I was the most passionate, which is crazy. But that was how I thought. My thinking was that all or nothing thinking, right? Where if it's not my everything, then it's nothing. And that's not how life works. I cannot only ever be a social worker 24/7. That is exactly what led to my burnout. And it's like in my free time, it was just social work and psychology and crime and trauma 24/7. And then I had the social work bubble, which I love. I love this podcast. I love my blog. I love my Etsy shop. I love connecting with this community that I'm building. But it's all social work related, you know? And so it was never like I could really turn it off. And like I said, I had really neglected the parts of my identity that weren't related to social work. And those were the parts of my identity that gave me life, that gave me passion, that gave me peace. Things like my spirituality. I do practice as a Christian, and I had neglected my faith. I had neglected the things that make me swoon, like reading and poetry and baking, and really just the parts of life that you can really romanticize and fall in love with, and going on picnics and hiking and walking and reading and exploring bookstores and smelling beautiful candles and going for late night drives and looking at the stars and breathing in fresh air and finding good views and watching the sunset. Those small things in life that I had really built into my life were all gone, because my only identity had been that of a social worker. And anything other than that, I felt was failing my passion, that I felt was not enough social work, not enough, and I wasn't doing enough. And any time not doing social work was time I wasn't doing enough, right? What's the point of doing something if it's not contributing to my success and my professional goals and how I want to change the world and be one of the best social workers and most well-known and practiced and inspiring, right? And so I really felt like that was my sole identity, and I had lost many of the things outside of that. Another thing that led to my burnout and also is leading to my healing is boundaries. So in terms of burnout, I didn't have any, or they were crap and I didn't really follow through with them. What's helping with my healing, which is actively going on, I apologize if you hear the siren. How my boundaries impact my healing now is that they're present and I actively implement them in my life. Something I tell my clients, and which I told one of my clients the other day, is boundaries are great. And we can say all these boundaries that we want, but the tough part is when people challenge those boundaries and we have to double down on them. And that's something that's come up with my clients where I say, I don't work these hours, I only work this time. And, you know, they ask, okay, but can you just make an exception and schedule me for this time during my personal time? And I made a habit of doing that, a bad habit of doing that, like I said before, because then the mornings I had off were filled up and then I was working like 60, at least 60 hours a week. And that was not a way for me to function. Now, in my healing process, in my healing journey from burnout, I've really established this respect of my own boundaries. Because if you respect your boundaries and you really implement them and stick to them, other people will also respect them. But if people see you making exceptions all the time, then why would they feel it'd be any different for them, right? And my clients saw that, right? And how can I teach my clients healthy boundaries if I myself don't have them for my clients? And that's an important thing to remember, is we can model healthy behavior. And I was modeling unhealthy boundaries that led me to be burned out. And I was teaching that to my clients. And I think that disappoints me too, that, you know, my burnout didn't just affect me, right? It affected my clients. Not really, but like, I guess it could have in more ways. But I think that's something to remember, is boundaries are important and sticking with them is important, and saying no to administration if they say you have to take on another client, or do you have any availability for a new client, or can you take on this case, or can you accept this transfer? Say no, and say no to your clients. Like if they say, well, I know you don't work Saturdays, but can we meet on Saturday? Or, well, I know you don't work at 7 o'clock in the morning, but can we do our therapy session then? Say no, because it's okay and it's healthy and it's normal. And you are a professional. You know, you can't bend over backwards for clients just like anyone else, because you have a life and you don't expect clients to just switch around their life for you. So, you know, it goes both ways. Something that's very important for me that I touched on already, that has been incredibly significant in my healing journey, is forming identity outside of social work. I haven't done that in a very long time. And this past weekend, so two weekends ago, that's when I took time off. This past weekend, I got my second COVID-19 shot, and I actually had to go upstate New York to get it. I had to drive about 6 hours away from New York City because the first time I got the shot, that was the only availability. I couldn't find any near availability in New York City, and I really had to get up for work. So I went up there. I didn't know that you had to get it in the same location. So then I had to go back to Potsdam for my second shot. What was incredibly beautiful about this experience was that I was completely alone for this weekend. And it was only a 2-day weekend, but I was all by myself. I had a 6-hour car ride there all by myself. I could listen to whatever music I wanted to. I could jam out. And the drive there was beautiful. It goes through the Adirondack Mountains. It was beautiful. The roads were like, there was really no expressway. A lot of it was just these curvy roads in the mountains, the trees, the nature, the rocks. I mean, it was phenomenal. The drive was phenomenal. And then I get to Potsdam, which is just the cutest town. It reminded me so much of where I went to my undergrad college, SUNY Fredonia. There's also a SUNY Potsdam. It was just like the layout of the town reminded me so much of Fredonia. And I think that's why I loved it so much too, is there was a nostalgia factor for me there. I stayed at the cutest little inn that was right in town, and they have this little street called Market Street, and it has all these shops on it, and it was just adorable. I had one of the best weekends of my life. And I say that literally. I quite literally mean that, because I never needed something so much. Having those 4 days off was really important for me, to not have to work for 4 days. And I think that really started this process. But I was also with family. There was also, you know, around the holidays, there was just a lot to do. I still had a lot of work that I wanted to catch up on. So it didn't really feel like a break. But this weekend, it truly changed me. It truly changed me. I didn't have any work. I shut everything off. I was by myself. My partner didn't come with me. I really was alone for this, which I'm not saying I like needed time away from my partner. I would have loved if he was there. He just couldn't be there. But I think it was important for me to really have this time to myself. And so I was alone in this cute inn in this cute small town. Behind the inn, there was this park, and there was a lake right there and some benches. So, you know, as soon as I got there, I took a long hot shower and I just enjoyed every minute of it. I sat down at the sink and I did my makeup in some new pajamas that I bought. It's almost like a sweatsuit kind of thing. It was so comfortable. I did my skincare, I did my makeup, I did my hair, and I just took my time and I was watching Hulu and it was just amazing. And I had bought some new clothes, so I dressed up in some nice clothes where I felt comfortable and confident. And I went to one of the bakeries that was gluten-free, and I got my dinner there, and it was just the cutest little place ever. And then I just ate my dinner, and I enjoyed being there. And then that evening, I went back to the hotel, I got a book, and I went to the park, and I just spent the evening for hours reading, watching the sun go down, and watching the stillness of the lake and hearing the geese. And I was just in this park in this small town past the Adirondack Mountains, and it was literally the time of my life. It was an introvert's dream. After I had some reading time in the park, I got into my car and I just drove around the town, and I found some back roads, and I stopped my car on those back roads and I rolled my windows down and I just felt the wind and I could hear the crickets. And other than the crickets, it was just the silence. And it was the same silence and crickets I was used to growing up with. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. It made me want to cry. It really did. If you're an extrovert, I don't know if you're really understanding how important this experience was to me. Maybe you are. But for a person who was burnt out, but also for an introvert who was burnt out, it was really a life-changing experience. And then I came back to my hotel and I went to bed early in a very comfortable bed. I woke up early in the morning because I had actually gone to bed at a normal hour instead of super late. And I woke up, I actually got up when I wanted to at like 7 o'clock, and you know, I did my skincare, I got into some comfortable clothes, I got some coffee, and I went back to the park. And it was a Sunday morning. It seems like everyone was still in their homes, and I was the only one in the park. So I just walked around more, and explored parts of the park that I hadn't seen before, and I went to the very end, where it was almost like the land had come to this little point and was just looking over the lake. And I sat on this bench and my phone was off. I put it in my bag and I didn't even touch it. I put it to the side. And I just had this morning, this Sunday morning in spring. And it was really just silence. And the only thing I could hear was the geese playing in the water and waking up in the morning. And the stillness, the still movement of the water. And I just sipped and I looked over the lake and, you know, it was still foggy and there was some dew on the grass. I took my sandals off and I ran my toes and my feet through the grass because I was used to being in the country. I grew up barefoot, you know, running on grass. I'm not about to run around barefoot in New York City. And so just to have that feeling of the sensations, the sensory feeling was so important to me. And I went back to my inn room. I packed and took a 6-hour trip home. And then I had a therapy session when I got back to New York for myself. I had a therapy session with my own therapist. It was a weekend of dreams. And it was another thing for me that really set the intention moving forward, that really let me know. And I remember thinking, I was like, why don't I do these things when I'm in New York? Why don't I wake up early and go to the park in the morning? Why don't I drink my coffee on a park bench and overlook the Hudson River? You know, why don't I go for more walks? Why don't I explore these different shops and explore the city? Why don't I romanticize my life again? You know, because I think really that's what prevented my burnout before is I had this identity outside of social work. I had things I was passionate outside of mental health and social work. I had things that made me feel alive and free. Things that made me thrive and be human and be more than one thing. And I think that's my biggest takeaway for today. And something I think I just want to leave you guys with is burnout is normal. It will happen no matter how passionate you are about social work, no matter how much you love this field. If you don't have boundaries, if you don't take care of yourself, and if you don't have an identity and purpose outside of this work, because it can become all-consuming, but you can't let it consume you. Because we can honestly change the world as social workers. We can create amazing change. But at what cost? Because we also need to take care of ourselves. And it's important that we also don't forget to enjoy our own life. That we don't forget to really leave the work at work. To leave the trauma at work. To leave the pain and the feelings and the all of it. To just leave it at the door. So that we can love life again. So we can find joy in those things that we found joy in before. So we can feel human again. And we can feel like more than one thing. Like the complex, amazing individuals we are. Because that's what makes social work special. Is we're made up of diverse group of people. We're unique. We have different interests and talents and skills. But if we allow this work to consume it so we lose those things, then what's the point? Then we're not working effectively. Thank you all so much for listening. If you have any comments or you want to share your own experience with burnout, with healing from burnout, please comment or share on whatever platform you're listening on. You can follow me at socialworkbub on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. You can check out the Social Work Bubble Etsy shop, where I provide worksheets and activities for social workers, therapists, and others in this field. And my website and blog, thesocialworkbubble.com. I hope you're all staying safe, and I look forward to continuing to grow together in the wonderful field of social work. Thank you.